So Seraphiel is the encircling angel. But to properly look at the encircling archangel, but to properly look at that in the sense, you've got to remember what archangels are. I'm just going to remember the wonderful Rilke, who likes to remind us what archangels are. So what Rilke tells us is that archangels are early successors, creation's pampered favourites, like mountain ranges, peaks growing red in the dawn of all beginning. They are the pollen of the flowering Godhead, joints of pure light, corridors, stairways, thrones, space formed from essence, shields made of ecstasy. Storms of emotion whirled into rapture, and suddenly, alone, mirrors, which scoop up the beauty that has streamed from their face and gather it back into themselves entire. So they are, we visualize them as these sort of figures, but they are these multi-dimensional beings. We see them originally looking at the four quarters. Raphael representing the beginning, the energy of air. Michael, noon and summer, the energy of fire. Gabriel, twilight, autumn, the energy of water in the north. Uriel, in the west rather, in the north. Uriel, the energy of nighttime, of winter, of deep earth. They also represent the qualities of life, light, love, law. Now, Seraphiel is the encircling angel who represents the weave itself, the thread of life. It's a quicksilver. Now, one of the ways we could represent the qualities of the angels, this is the tower cards. So we could see Raphael as represented by the tower trump temperance. Sense of a rising sun in the background, pouring out of the breath of life, the energy of life, stepping into the waters. We can see Michael as they call the lovers, the full-on light of the sun, the joining of things together, the growth, life, power of light at its most potent. We can see Gabriel as the tower trump, the world, the generation of all the forms, that love that creates the shaping and the forms of life. Uriel we can see as the devil, the qualities of duality, of matter, of the law that holds things in place. The dark light. From that place, Seraphiel is the fool, just as Penny has said. Now these are mnemonics, these are not the angels, but they point us in the direction of the angels. Ceruvial, above all, is the most difficult to describe because it is, ceruvial is like quicksilver, is connecting, is in constant movement, constantly creating the weave, creating the container that enables the expression of life. But actually, all the angels are impossible to depict. Another great description of angels we find in C.S. Lewis's novel. Get it to do its thing. Gotta get good. And this the book called Voyage to Venus or Perelandra, depending on what version you have. And there's a little bit in where Ransom, who's actually Tolkien, who's as a character in his book, is on the planet Venus, and it's right at the end of the book. There's a whole, and he's encountering the Archangel of Venus and the Archangel of Mars, and so he's standing. The whole story is coming to its conclusion. In fact, and what happens is this: a clear voice, like a chime of remote bells, a voice with no blood in it, spoke out of the air and sent a tingling through his frame. He's talking about the Adam and the. This figures are talking about the Adam and Eve of Venus. They have set foot. They've already set foot on the sand and are beginning to ascend. It said. A second voice, the small one from Thulcandra is already here. Thulcandra is the name given to the planet Earth in this story. Look on him, beloved, and love him, said the first. He is indeed but breathing dust, and a careless touch would unmake him. And in his best thoughts there are such things mingled, as if we thought them our light would perish. But he is in the body of Maleldil, Maleldil being their image of Jesus, and his sins are forgiven. His very name in his own tongue is Elwin, a friend of the Eldila. It's just interesting, the use of Elwin. Elwin is an old an Anglo-Saxon word that means elf friend. Friend of the elves, friend of the angels. How great is your knowledge, said the second voice. I have been down into the air of Thulcandra, said the first, which the small ones called Tellus, a thickened air, as full of the darkened as deep heaven is of the light ones. I have heard the prisoners there talking in their divided tongues, and Elwin has taught me how it is with him. From these words, Ransom knew, the talking figure, Ransom knew the speaker was the Osara, which means the archangel of Malacandra, the great archangel of Mars. He did not, of course, recognize the voice, for there is no difference between one Eldil's voice, which is an archangel, and another's. It is by art, not nature, that they affect human eardrums, and their words know nothing to lungs or lips. If it is good, Oi Afsa, said Ransom, tell me who is this other. It is Oi Afsa, and said Oi Afsa, and here this is not my name. In my own sphere I am Oi Afsa. Here am I only Malacandra. I am Perelandra, said the other voice. I do not understand, said Ransom. The woman told me there were no Eldila in this world. They have not seen my face till today, said the second voice, except as they see it in the water, the roof of heaven, the islands, the caves, and the trees. I was not set to rule them, but while they were young, I ruled all else. I rounded this ball when it first arose from Arbol. I spun the air about it, and I wove the roof. I built the fixed island, and this the holy mountain, as Maleldil taught me. The beasts that fly, and all that swims on my breast, and all that creeps and tunnels within me, down to the centre, has been mine. And today all of this is taken from me. Blessed be he. The small one will not understand you, said the Lord of Malacandra. He will think this is a grievous thing in your eyes. He does not say this, Malacandra. No, that is another strange thing about the children of Adam. There was a moment silent, and then Malacandra addressed Ransom. You will think of this best if you think of it in the likeness of certain things in your own world. I think I understand, said Ransom, for one of Maleldil's sayers has told us. It is like when the children of a great house come to their full age. Then those who administered all their riches, and whom perhaps they have never seen, come and put all in their hands and give up their keys. You understand well, said Perelandra, or like when the singing beast leaves the dumb dam who suckled him. The singing beast, said Ransom, I would gladly hear more of this. Beasts of that kind have no milk, and always what they bring forth is suckled by the she-beast of another kind. She is great and beautiful and dumb, until the young singing beast is weaned. It is among her whelps and is subject to her. But when it is grown, it becomes the most delicate and glorious of all beasts, and goes from her, and she wonders at its song. Why has Maleldil made such a thing, said Ransom. That is to ask why Maleldil has made me, said Perelandra. But it is enough to say that from the habits of these two beasts, much wisdom will come into the minds of my king and my queen and their children. But the hour is upon us, and this is enough. What hour? Asked Ransom. Today is the morning day, said one or other of both the voices. The morning, do you mean? He asked. Is all well? Has the queen found the king? The world is born today, said Melacandra. Today, for the first time, two creatures of the low worlds, two images of Maleldil, that breed and breathe like the beasts, step up that step at which your parents fell, and sit in the throne of what they were meant to be. It was never seen before. Will they come here? Said Ransom. They are already well up the mountainside, and our hour is upon us. Let us prepare our shapes. We are hard for them to see while we remain in ourselves. It is very well said, answered Melacandra, but in what form shall we show ourselves to do them honour? Let us appear to the small one here, said the other, for he is a man, and can tell us what is pleasing to their senses. I can see something even now, said Ransom. Would you have the king strain his eyes to see those who come to do him honour? Said the Archon of Perelandra. But look on this, and tell us how it deals with you. The very faint light, the almost imperceptible alterations in the visual field, which betokened an Eldil, vanished suddenly. The rosy peaks of the calm pool vanished also. A tornado of sheer monstrosity seemed to be pouring over Ransom. Darting pillars filled with eyes, lightning pulsations of flames, talons and beaks and billowy masses of what suggested snow volleyed through cubes and heptagons into an infinite black void. Stop it, he yelled, and the scene cleared. He gazed around blinking on the field of lilies, and presently gave the Eldila to understand this kind of appearance was not suited to human sensation. Look then on this, said the voices again, and he looked with some reluctance, and far off between the peaks, on the other side of the little valley, there came rolling wheels. There was nothing but that, concentric wheels moving with a rather sickening slowness, one inside the other. There was nothing terrible about them if you could get used to their appalling size, but there was also nothing significant. He bade him to try yet a third time, and suddenly two human figures stood before him on the opposite side of the lake. They were taller than the giants he had met in Mars. They were perhaps 30 feet high. They were burning white like white-hot iron. The outline of their bodies, when he looked upon it steadily against the red landscape, seemed to be faintly, swiftly undulating, as though the permanence of their shape, like that of waterfalls or flames, coexisted with a rushing movement of the matter it contained. For a fraction of an inch inward from this outline, the landscape was just visible through them. Beyond that, they were opaque. Whenever he looked at them straight, they appeared to be rushing towards him with enormous speed. Whenever his eyes took in their surroundings, he realized they were stationary. This may have been due in part to the fact that their long and sparkling hair stood out straight behind them as if in a great wind. But if there were wind, it was not made of air, for no petal of the flowers was shaken. They were not standing quite vertically in relationship to the floor of the valley, but it appeared to Ransom that the Eldil were vertical. It was the valley, it was the whole world of Perelandra, which was aslant. So that's C.S. Lewis trying to give us an image of the complexity of experiencing angels. That these are these vast, multidimensional beings that we have to interpret in our own form in order to make connection to between ourselves and the vast energies that they represent. So the tarot card suggestions are those that just give us suggestion into the quality of these kind of figures. But so all of them, but I guess Suviel in particular, because Suviel has no fixed form. It is the nature of Suviel to be the moving, weaving encircling presence. And what happens really, in a sense, if we bring together the four archangels and Zerubbabel, we create this manifesting shape, this generative shape that unites light and law, life and love, that unites air and water, fire and earth, that unites morning, noon, sunset and night, that unites spring, summer, autumn, winter, that brings them all together into this multidimensional generative form. So all that we have done over the 3 years has been to create that form and then examine a facet of that form. The Tree of Life, in a sense, is held within that great sphere, which is the sphere of all our lives, the sphere of our entire universe. And each path, in a sense, that we have looked at has been a particular facet of that great weaving. So as in this last weekend, we come back to this underneath shape, underneath relationship. It's that practice, really, of bringing that together, bringing ourselves present into our own particular individual experience of that here and now, that then enables our next step is somewhere. So there we are, that's the reveal. Yeah.
They've all got the four archangels that we're familiar with have this sense of like in the cards there's this duality, they've all got two things like a dichotomy in it. With the four cards I sort of get a feeling of undoing. Is that because Zerubbabel and Dart is, although it's a weaving, it's an
Well, each of the others represent, if you like, a constant quality. The Zerubbabel and the Fool card represent that image of the movement of awareness itself. It's in motion, right? So if we look at the Fool card, it's in constant motion, stepping into the new, and therefore and continually moving. It's both continually still and continually kind of moving. It's the center point that connects everything else. So in a certain point, one of the ways that we can consider the Fool is and consider Zerubbabel as a center point that connects everything, but it's also the moving energy that connects things. So it's a paradox, it's stillness and movement. And there is no adequate image that really represents. The Fool is probably the nearest in the tarot pack that we can find that represents that sort of quality.
Is this also Penelope with her weaving and unweaving every night?
No, not really, no, because the Penelope's that is creation and uncreation, whereas Zerubbabel is really about connecting everything together into the. So it isn't. Zerubbabel is not creative or destructive in that sense. Zerubbabel is that presence of awareness that brings everything together.
So a different kind of weaving.
It's just a slightly different. Zerubbabel is the connecting principle, almost.
Bill associated Zerubbabel with truth.
Nice image.
The truth is marked.
Yeah.
Is there something about that balance of art? Is that centre point and circumference?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the important thing, both centre point and circumference, and that quality of art that holds that dynamic balance. So it's really, yes, does have that kind of idea behind it.
Archangels as well. This is a basic question about the middle pillar. So each angel it has a kind of connection with each of the
You can't. I mean, obviously, you can do that. I mean, you'd although the attributions of the archangels, they're not the same as the four. So it's Sandalphon is the archangel of Malchut, Gabriel of Yesod, Mikael of Tiferet, Uriel would be the archangel of Da'at. So we don't have Raphael in that. We have Metatron in Ketah. So you could certainly use the archangels in that way if that's meaningful to you, really.
And you put Sivivialum into art.
Well, Sivivialum, yes. I think the thing about this is it's. Sivivialum doesn't work that well in that kind of structure. Sivivialum is the angel that really represents the relationship between Sivivialum and the four angels. It's a slightly different mandala form than using the middle pillar. I mean, I've never used the angels. I mean, normally when I work with the middle pillar, I'm really working with the names of God and the sense of the energies of the middle pillar. So I've not normally, in my own personal work, ever use the angels in that kind of a way.
No, when we're in the temple, and you said often throughout the course, like the shin above us, so the white shining shin, and then the red shin, and sometimes I felt sort of that I'm the middle thing. So does that mean that?
Well, we can be any and all of them. The Sivivialum. So, let's say you're standing in the midst of the temple. You have the four angels around you. You're standing in that center point. So you're standing with Sivivialum at the center, but Sivivialum is also connecting all parts of the periphery, also. Yes. Yeah.
The circle of the cross is.
And the centre, yeah. And the centre.
And multiplicity.
Well, the quality of Sivivialum is that it connects everything to everything else. Okay, so it connects the multiplicity and the simplicity.
It's associated with the chord, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah.
And the
red
chord would traditionally be used to, from the centre, to create the
create the circle,
circumference of the circle.
Mm. Yes, so if you
still point at the centre, you would use the chord to delineate the that sort of moving circumference.
Yeah. Well, that's right, and any point at the circumference is connected by the chord to the centre point. So the whole, and just like a cord can be created into shapes, created into knots, and can weave then the whole fabric out of it, that's all part of the same imagery, really. So Sivivialum is not so much visualized as felt in some ways, because there's no fixed image, it's an image of movement and connectedness.
Is the love light, life and law, does that come from you or your...
Comes from Bill Gray.
Tradition? Oh, okay.
No, I mean, it arises out of the tradition, really, that, of course, that Bill and I both studied, but it's Bill's particular brilliant... But Bill Gray's, I really recommend... His books aren't easy, exactly, because they're written in a very condensed style. But if you're interested in reading about Kabbalah beyond Ernest Butler's books, Bill's books are really worth reading, because he creates some really interesting, and one of his abilities really was to concentrate, and so these ideas of life and love, light and will, are a condensation of the characteristics of the archangels that work really, really well. And it was Bill's particular brilliance that he was able to do that somewhere.
He loved a bit of alliteration.
And he loved a bit of alliteration. Oh, yes. His, yes, his vitriols are full of alliteration.
But these are really, really strongly used in Edward's Druidry.
Yeah.
So I wonder by what path they came through to us.
Well, I suspect somebody might, maybe Philip read his, might have read Bill's, because those books, oddly enough, Marcus and I were talking earlier on about how, because I can remember Bill's, and that old, I can remember Bill's books actually emerging.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would have been emerging at the time when Philip was starting to write the Gwefsi and starting to generate. So, so I think if you've got those words, those phrases there, almost certainly he's got them from Bill.
Mm. Could you tell us a book you might recommend?
Magical Ritual Methods. By W.G. Gray. Magical Ritual Methods. But any of his books are worth reading. They are very, very good. But that one in particular.
Is there one that puts the tarot in the way you said, like you did it the other way?
There is. There's one called the Sangreal Tarot.
Say that again.
The Sangreal Tarot.
The Sangreal.
Also the talking talking tree does that as well, doesn't it?
What
about the Ladder of Lights?
Well, Ladder of Lights is not really about the tower. Ladder of Lights is about the Sephirot of the tree.
Yeah,
so the Sangreal Tower, or the talking tree, really deals with the tarot and the tree. Penny just mentioned another book called The Ladder of Lights, which is his approach to the Tree of Life, which is very good. Magical Ritual Methods is probably the one that describes the archangels and working with these practices most clearly. And it's a great classic, really. It's very good.
And most of them are in the Library of Avalon, if people are local.
I've always been a bit averse to people who sign off emails with love and light. Something bristles in me. and I'm kind of, actually, with these other two, I feel better with it, because it feels like, oh, there's something up there as well. It's like,
yeah, I think the problem with these words, of course, is because they're overused words. Mm. I mean, they, in a sense, we're using them in a quite a specific way, right? So if we think of the quality of love, is that quality of the all-encompassing love of Bina, which generates all the forms. So it's that sense of the chalice, the eternal womb that keeps creating forms and sees that all is good. The quality of light is that absolute quality of light that penetrates, that fiery quality that awakens, that illuminates, that magnifies. So it's not sentimental. These are not sentimental qualities. Okay, life is the full-on energy of life. The green life that surges through the universe. Law is that solidity of matter, the law of gravity, the law of electromagnetism, the conditions that govern, that create the order of the universe. So these ideas are not emotions, they're these potent kind of principles of the universe, in a way.
Could you say a bit more about Selah as well? I don't know if you've spoken.
Well, Selah, I mean, it comes out of the 87th Psalm. It is a phrase you find in the Psalm. It's interruption. Selah. It means stop, pause. So it's used quite deliberately there as a jumping point when you have a transition from one space to another. So in particular, in the 87th Psalm, it's used in the moment where you move from duality to non-duality. When you start to, when the divine that describes says, all my springs are in you, singers and dancers, all my springs are in you, where it says suddenly you are become the hollow bone, the flute of the divine, through which the divine life flows. So Selah is the stop, the breaking down of separation in this instance.
So that's dealt with French ways. spelled?
Pardon?
How's that spelled the French way, Selah?
S-E-L-A-H. Samek Lamed, Samek Lamed He.
Oh, okay, right.
Samek Lamed He, it's Hebrew. So Samek Lamed He.
I always thought it meant, that's it. It is. Something like that. I don't know why.
If it's combined with Amen, right, so sometimes Amen Selah.
Right.
So Amen, it is so. Selah, stop.
Yeah, right.
Do you see? It's that. Amen Selah is a slightly different. Selah on its own is just a stopping point.
Yeah.
In the meditation, you did a prayer of some kind.
Kadosh.
Holy, holy. But then there was something else that wasn't. Well, what was that about? Can you tell us about that?
What? Well, Kadosh, the triple Kadosh, is like Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus. It's a, it's an invocation of holiness. It's an it's the prayer of the seraphim. It's a, it's the invocation of that field of holiness, really. Holy, 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 thrice holy.
After that,
yeah, I don't know what.
Wasn't. I thought it was usually Kadosh 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 Elohim Sabaoth and then something else, but you didn't say that. You said something else. You were singing something else.
Yeah. Well, I don't. No, I don't remember. Oh. So it wasn't a prepared prayer, Holly. So I don't. So that wasn't a. The state I was in when I was doing that, I was just allowing the energy to flow through me. So I remember Sanctus, 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 which is the Latin of Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So it might have been that. I don't know. Can't quite remember, to be honest. I mean that whole bit of the prayer. One of the traditions you have in Kabbalah is the whole idea of the nigunim, the nigun, which sometimes is a wordless prayer, but also can be like a chanted prayer, but doesn't have linear sense to it. So they started off by chanting Ayah Ashir Ayah, and then moving into a sort of nigun around that, which then started to bring in from me. We moved from Ayah to Adonai, and then other names of the tree. So there's a weaving of the tree, and then there was a Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh was then part of the expression of the holiness of the energy that was arising. And but I honestly don't remember what followed that, so I can't tell you. Because I was in a very linear state when I was doing it. But it certainly wasn't a form prayer, so it wouldn't be a recognizable prayer. So, any other thoughts or questions or things just to finish up?
Is the spiral and the straight caught by this one?
Yeah.
Is that another equivalence of the centre and the circumference?
It's one expression of it, yeah, for sure.
As the ending is a beginning, will you tell us anything about the next one now, or will we wait?
I can tell you. I can tell you about the next one, but let's see if there's anything left to ask about this one. I can certainly tell you more about the next one before we finish, if you want to.
Have some sort of ending. I don't know what that
looked like,
but just
to honour
it.
Well, we will right at the end. Right, yeah. Just at the end, we're going to sit together, yeah, and be conscious of the ending, and for sure. So that's. We will have an ending, yeah, absolutely. So let's see if there's anything left about anything. I've thought I'll tell you a little bit about the new course.
I've just got a little symbol, maybe it's Alice coming back again, but I was just thinking about the 3 years and what a massive kind of life journey it's been as well.
Yep.
And how we've been with the tarot cards in a way, I mean, I certainly have never been in my life in a kind of conscious and unconscious way. And I was thinking, oh, I don't know if I remember what goes there, or where's the chariot, and oh, temperance, and then I did have that image of you're just a pack of cards, and throwing them up in the air, and you can land where you want as well. Because I think with also the Bill Gray, or the cards going completely, and I was thinking, fuck, you know, I don't even know where they go on this system. No, I'm not going to look at anything else. Well, yeah. But almost like the sense that maybe they also go where they want as well.
Well, they can do. You could put any one of the tarot trumps on any one of the paths, and it would speak to you in an interesting way. There is literally... the tarot cards do work well with the paths, but not because of they're in a particular order. You could absolutely experiment with Bill's way of doing it, you get a lot out of it. You can do it the way we've done it and get a lot out of it. You could do it really randomly and you get a lot out of it. You know, you could devise your own connections in the paths, and the tarot trumps, and that would work.
So this is the connection to Cerulean bringing your awareness and the new weaving.
Exactly that, right? So part of what we're... Now, as we end today, but we end this particular course of the 3 years, you're left with your weaving of that, whatever carries forward in this for you in your particular way. Mm. You know, of course, we're all meeting together again in September with 3 more people joining us. So it will be a new group. But it will be a different group because the subject will be different. We won't be dealing with the detail of the Tree of Life in the same way. We won't be working on the paths. We'll be working upon a myth structure or the nature, looking at the nature of myth in some ways.
Yeah, it has been really deep. And as we were coming up the tree, I felt like things were happening in my body where the second we were.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been a really strong process.
And I suppose the key thing really, as we end with this, is for you to take away from this whatever is right for you to take away, to take that back into your life, and to take what is useful, to discard what is not, and to bring the essence of it forward in your own particular, you know, way of understanding and practice. And, you know, it's as you say, friend, it's been a lot of work. We've covered a lot of things, you know, and too many even to remember right now as we're sitting here. And a lot of life has happened to us all in 3 years as well. So, you know, there's... See, one of the usefulness, I think, of endings is to just have some time to digest. And the important thing about endings as well is the discarding process, to get rid of the stuff that isn't meaningful. To, you know, so you could just put that behind you. That's been fun, and then you pick up whatever you want to pick up, whatever is useful to pick up. You know, that image of Sheikh Saman, who abandons everything and has to abandon his whole world in order to take his next step. One of the contrasts is given by the second Sheikh of the followers who refuse to do that, who hang on to the place they were and therefore betray their Sheikh and betray their own next step. So the next step is to leave behind whatever needs leaving behind.
I just feel some resistance. That's exactly what you're saying. It's the story of the Sheikh, where we've had so many leaders, the sects, following to the death, as it were,
and killing off some instances. How dangerous that, knowing who is a true leader.
No, that's a good. It's a good question, isn't it? I mean, of course, the story isn't literally about external leadership, but of course, that's an important point. So the other point that's important in this is I end. In the process of ending, I check out whether I want to begin again. You may not want to come to the next course. Well, have to. Welcome to. Of course, welcome to. But one of the things that ending gives us is the opportunity to consider what is right for me now. Mm. And if any of you change your mind about that, of course, you're really welcome to. You're also very welcome to come, but it will. The other thing that's important to say, as was this point, it will be a completely different course. It's not a repetition of this. Part of the reason why I keep all the stuff on the website. If you want to do this course over again, well, you can. It's all there. Go back to 3 years back into the website. Start listening to the lessons again. Then you can literally do the same thing over again as we did it. If you want to do that, nothing wrong with that. That's why the website exists for that purpose.
But presumably, whatever course you do, it's leading to the same point.
Well, they're certainly coming out with the same point, and hopefully it's leading us in the sense of deeper awareness and deeper understanding. I hope it does that. But the material is very different, right? I mean, it's sort of, so the I shall stop and start, and because it